All right, good morning and welcome again to Flint River. Let me remind you of our goal this year, 2021. Our goal is to read through the Bible chronologically on our own, and you're following our reading plan, and I'm teaching every Sunday out of Scripture that you've read during the week. Now, doing it this way, we go through the Scriptures really rapidly, and we don't get to spend a lot of time on any one particular person, subject, or event. King David, for example, the mighty King David, we've talked about him for 2 weeks, and now we're moving on. And so I want to talk today about a psalm that David wrote, and it's Psalm 40. And I want you to understand that this is a psalm that's not just for young people. I know we're in the springtime. A lot of colleges are in graduation. High schools are graduating. But this is not really the only crowd that this is going to be geared for. This is for every believer, whether you're 8 years old up to 98 years old. This is for everyone, and it's all about God's will. How do you know what God's will is? How do you find God's will? And does it really matter? Come on now, is this just a goal we shoot for? Or does God's will really matter in my life and in your life? Those are the things we're going to talk about today. I'm glad you're here with us. Boy, to address the subject of God's will, what a huge topic that is. There's so many different aspects that we need to discuss, and we just don't have time to do that in just one session. So I'm going to take a very broad, very general approach to this, and I'll end up with a 1, 2, 3. Give you a way to begin to pursue this in your life. Most believers, when you begin to talk about God's will, don't understand it. They may associate God's will with the job, the profession that they've chosen. Maybe some of them associate it with their college they went to or the major they had in college. Maybe some associate their marriage as part of that. But I'll be honest with you, most believers give zero thought to God's will once they've gotten their marriage settled, and once they have their employment settled, I don't think about it. I don't pray about it. If I were to ask you, do you pursue God's will? I think that would be something that honestly they would answer no. It's not. Is it really that important? I think that would be a question that they would struggle with. And we've got a crowd here this morning that has several different, very specific elements to it. We do have a graduating crowd. We've got seniors in high school that are about to finish up their education. We've got our college kids that a lot of them are home from school. They've already graduated and about to enter the work world. And you know what? Probably very few of them actually considered God's will as they enter this next step in the process. You know, with mom and dad, you would think this would be a huge thing that they would pray together about and approach God. God, what is it that you want us to do? But to be honest with you, it doesn't really happen that way. The colleges are chosen based on where my friends are going, where I want to go, maybe where mom and dad went. Maybe it's my favorite football team, and then mom and dad's part in all this is, how can we make this available? How can we finance this and afford this? And, you know, but bottom line, is this what God wants me to do? But that's a segment of our crowd that's here today. We've got a lot of young families that are here that are consumed with having babies, raising kids, getting started, buying a house, and God's will is absolutely not on their radar, not one bit. I'm overloaded. I can't take another thing. We are focused on our family right now, and that will just be something for a later date. Then you've got empty nesters that are here that have really settled in. You know, they've raised their children. They're established in their jobs. They've got a lot of history with where they're working. I'm very comfortable. I'm very settled. And I'm not even considering what God's will is. You know, I don't want to make any changes. I like it the way it is right now. Then we've got some senior citizens that are here that they discount God's will totally. They feel like, you know what, I've put my time in. I'm too old to make any kind of changes now. And so when you bring the subject of God's will up, there's so many different thoughts and impressions and approaches to this that it makes it real difficult to discuss. I want to take you to that psalm that I told you that David wrote, chapter 40 in Psalm, and I want to look at verse 8. I want you to hear the heart of the great, mighty King David. Psalm 40, verse 8, David said, I desire. Another translation says, I delight. But I desire to do your will, oh my God, my God. Your law is within my heart. Let me ask you a really searching personal question. In your life, now answer this for you, just in the privacy of your heart. I mean, nobody's going to check you on your answers, but in your heart and your life, does knowing God's will really matter to you at all? Be honest. You know, I'm not praying about it. No, Pastor, I'm not searching for it. You know what? I'm almost kind of scared of it because I don't really know that I trust God to make all the decisions in my life for me. It's kind of scary because what if He chooses for me to do something that maybe I don't want to do? What if He picks out a mate for me that I'm not going to be comfortable with and that maybe I'm not going to like? God's will is so scary to me, Pastor. I'll be honest with you. You know what? I'd rather just make my own decisions and hope God's pleased with them. And then here's the kicker. There are believers that say, you know, I am curious about God's will, but I don't want to be roped into having to do it, but I'd love to know what His will for my life is. But just as an option, just to put on the table for me to consider along with everything else, what I want, what I like, what my friends are doing, what's a better opportunity, where are the open doors. Boy, all of these things that I just mentioned can get you in trouble so quickly because none of these represent every time what God's will is for you or for me. So that question, does God's will really matter to me, is pretty big in the life of a believer. And wow, I wonder how you answered that. I'd love to know what your answer was. Let me take you to a couple other verses. These are in the New Testament. Paul wrote these. He wrote one in his letter to the Ephesian church, and he wrote one to the church at Colossae. Ephesians 5:17, Paul wrote this, "Do not be unwise, but I want you to understand what the will of the Lord is." He made it very plain. God wants us to know what His will is. Listen to Colossians 1:9. Paul wrote, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul is so clear and plain, and we could go to other verses, but I use these two to just kind of establish the fact that God has expectations for each of us as His children, as believers. He expects us to know His will and to obey and follow it. There are a lot of terms that are kind of synonymous. We use the phrase God's will. We use the phrase God's got a plan for your life. We use the phrase God's got a purpose for your life. But all of those in my heart and mind are interchangeable. See, this is kind of where we are. Let's put some foundation here. You were created for a specific reason, a purpose. God has a plan for your life. You're not an accident. You didn't just happen. But God formed you and He shaped you. He gave you the exact personality that you have. He gave you your strengths and your weaknesses. He gave you your gifts, your talents, your abilities. He put all this together in a very unique package for you and for me and for everybody because He has a specific purpose and a specific plan for your life. And you know what? He wants us to know that. It's not a game. It's not a mystery. A lot of times with the words that we use, it almost sounds like it's an Easter egg hunt. We ask people, you know, have you discovered God's will for your life? Have you found God's will for your life? Almost like an Easter egg hunt, and we're looking for the golden egg, and God's in heaven saying, nope, 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 you're cold. You're getting warmer. You're cold. You're cold. Keep looking. It's not a game. It's not a mystery. God wants us to know His plan, His purpose, His will for our life. And in doing that, He wants to take us step by step by step. His will is not to say, okay, that's where I want you to go in that direction. You just take off and then Him sit back and watch us flounder. He wants to take us by the hand and say, okay, here's the first step. Now here's the second step. Okay, now go here. Now turn. Here's where I want you to go. That is the will of God. And that's the whole plan and purpose of Him as our Heavenly Father and us as His children, to lead us and to guide us every step of the way. Is it really, let me go back to that question that I asked earlier. Is it really that big of a deal? And the answer is yes. It's a huge deal because we've talked so many times, anything that God expects of us as His believers, any kind of expectation, there will always be an accountability factor for us. We're going to stand before God accountable for His will. Did we search for it? Did we desire to do it? Did we obey it? Did we do our own thing? Are we making our own decisions? Is everything based off of what seems right, what feels good, what other people are doing? It's a huge thing, and you and I are going to have to be accountable to this to the Lord one day as we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, let me get practical with you. Let me give you a 1, 2, 3. Now, this is for believers. If you're not a believer, I want you to hang on for just a little bit. I'm going to come back and I want to share something really specific just for you in a minute. But as a believer, how do I know God's plan, God's purpose, God's will for my life? Give me a 1, 2, 3. How do I get started? All right. Jot some notes here. Here's the first step. It begins with a choice, all right? And it is a choice. Let me read you out of the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 17. John wrote, if anyone chooses to do God's will, there it is. It's very plain and simple. He said God's will is a choice that each one of us choose. You know what? God didn't make us little bitty robots. God didn't make us puppets where He does everything and we're just following His every direct order and He controls every aspect of our life. He created us with a freedom, with a will to choose. And that will to choose can be used in great ways, and we can make great decisions and good choices. And He's very proud of us when we do that. But there's also that freedom, you know what, to make some very poor choices and rotten and disastrous decisions. God doesn't keep us from failing. He allows us to fail. Failure, a lot of times, is one of His biggest teaching tools. It's how He can shape and mold our character and our nature to be more like His. That's the goal for us as believers, is to be more and more like Jesus Christ each and every day. And so it's our choice. John said, if anybody chooses to do God's will, it's our choice whether we care about God's will or not. It's our choice whether we pursue, whether we want to learn God's will. It's our choice whether we have any intention of desiring God's will at all. That's what you and I choose. But there's another side to that choice. Not only finding out and desiring and obeying and pursuing, but it's our choice whether or not we follow His will. when He shows us what His plan for our life is, when He shows us our purpose that He created us for, when He shows us each step of the way on His will for our life, it's our choice whether we follow His leadership. It's our choice whether we obey what He desires and what He designed us to do. Salvation is all about that personal relationship that we have with Almighty God. We were born sinners. We were born separated from God. We're separated from God by our sin. This sin that nature that we were born with, this desire to just do our own thing, this pride, this self-centeredness separates us from Almighty God. And until we are forgiven, until God removes that from us, there's no way that we can ever have a personal relationship with Him. There's no way we can ever experience forgiveness. There's no way, to use another term, there's no way for us to be saved. And that's exactly why God left the throne in heaven and came to this earth as Almighty God in human form. He became a man and He came here to teach us all about what God is like. He became a man so that He could show us the character and the nature and the love of Almighty God. He also became a man so that He could go to the cross and offer His life as a substitute and as a sacrifice for us. See, as Almighty God, He was sinless. He was righteous. He was holy. That blood flowing in His body was absolutely pure. And that pure blood that He shed for us made available for us our forgiveness, made available for us our salvation. And you incorporate that into your life by a submission, a surrender of your life to Him. God, thank You that You loved me that much, that You would come to this earth. You'd leave the throne and become a man and come to this earth to suffer on the cross just for me. That blood You shed would pay the penalty for my sin. And that blood, I want You as my Lord, my Savior. Would You come and live inside of me? Would You forgive me of my sins? Would You be my Father, my Savior, my Messiah, my Lord, my Master? See, I don't understand how somebody can say those words and desire to be saved, but then turn around and say, well, you know what? I don't even pray about God's will. You know, I really don't even consider it. It's not something I desire. It's not something I think about. I mean, I don't even know the last time I've thought about God's will. I don't understand. Those two things don't add up to me. I just think there are issues somewhere. Maybe there's an issue in that surrender that you made. Maybe you went through the motions and were not sincere in what you were doing. Maybe you made some type of false decision based on what your friends did, or maybe what your parents encouraged you to do. I don't know. I would say if that describes you, then I would pursue that there's some issues in your spiritual life and your walk with the Lord, some things that you really need to get with God and take care of. All right? So the first step is understanding that I've got to choose to want God's will. I've got to begin to desire it. It is a choice that I make. All right? Here's step number two. Once I decide that that's what I want to pursue, that it really matters to me, then I've got to begin to hear God speak to me, right? It's so important to hear God speak, not in an audible voice. God's not going to call down from heaven and shout at you while you're in your room or watching TV or outside cutting grass. You're not going to hear this booming voice calling your name. But God speaks to us through His Word, and He speaks to our heart in the times when we engage in prayer with Him. Not prayer like I'm giving God my list of, now Lord, I need this and I want this, and God, I need You to do this and this and this and this. You know, prayer is when I get alone with the Lord and I tell Him how much I love Him. And I read His Word and I say, God, speak to my heart. God, I want to know Your will for my life. I want to know what it is that you desire for me to become. I need to know the places where I'm falling short. God, the things that you want me to begin so that I can be more like you. That time of prayer, that time of being all alone with God is a huge first step in discovering His will for my life. Writers say that 90% of God's will for your life is already written right here in His Word. See, God's will, there's a general part of God's will that is common for all believers. For you and for me and for everyone in our worship center today, there are certain aspects of God's will that He expects of all of us as believers. See, that's the who you are part of God's will. And God's desire for you and me, all as believers, is to become more like Jesus. And that's not any different for you than it is for me. And it's so standard, it's clearly spelled out in God's Word. If we really want to know God's will, then it begins by me spending time alone with Him every day, reading and studying. And God, I need you to show me. Let me take you to a verse in Psalm again. This is Psalm 143, verse 10. And the psalmist said this, Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. But see, here's the issue that many believers face. Having a time alone with God is not enjoyed by the vast, vast majority of believers. Most of our believers really haven't experienced God speaking to them for days or weeks or months. How could they possibly ever know what God desires for them if they're not hearing God speak? I'm amazed at the number of believers in conversations that we have that honestly say, you know what, I'm just too busy. You know, it's work, it's my kids' activities I'm trying to keep up with. I'm trying to do this and this and this, and I just don't have time to be alone with God every day. And I want you to know, there is no possible way that you can know God's will with an approach like that. It will not happen. God's will is found in His Word. God's will is found in times of prayer, because it's all about this. We think of God's will as what He wants us to do, but God is so much more concerned. Listen to this. God is so much more concerned with who we are than what we do. He wants us to be like Christ. And then, you know what? The part of His will about what we're doing, you know what? If I'm focusing on who God wants me to be, then He'll make sure He communicates to me what He wants me to do. There's a third part. The third part is this. It takes faith and obedience to know God's will. Faith and obedience. Faith is me coming to God and saying, I trust you. I trust what you decide for me. I trust your leadership. I trust your guidance. And obedience is saying, God, here's my yes. Whatever question you ask, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, however you want me to serve you, God, my answer is yes. Faith and obedience tie in, and they're inseparable from God's will. Let me take you to a verse that the writer of Hebrews wrote in chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's the first part of verse 6. Without faith, it is just impossible to know God's will and then to obey and follow God's will and please Him. Faith and obedience are tied in there. You know what? A lot of people think, well, if God would just lay it out for me and show me all at one time what He wants me to do, where He wants me to go, how He wants me to serve Him, then that would be great. Steve, this is where I want you to end up. These are the roads I want you to take. These are the things that you'll experience along the way. These are the hardships and the obstacles you'll have to overcome to get there. But this is where I want you to go. You know what? If God did that in our lives, we would totally ruin it. Because we would think we've got a better way of getting there. Well, you know what? I don't know why God wants me to go this way. I want to go around here and get there this way. I think this way is better. And you know what? We would probably change the end destination anyway. We're such control freaks. We want to do things our own way. We always think we have a better way. And we always think our way trumps God's way or anybody else's way. He will never lay out for you a map, but it'll always be faith and obedience. Remember back, we studied Abraham just a few months ago. God called Abraham, and his name was Abram at that time. He lived in eastern modern day Iraq, which is a long way from Israel, which was known as Canaan, referred to as the Promised Land. He called this man who was a pagan worshiper, and he said, Abram, I want to become your God. I want to introduce myself to you. I want a relationship with you, and I want to make a nation out of your descendants, and I've got a special piece of real estate, a special land just for you, and I want you to follow me, and I'm going to take you there. He did not tell him where he was going. He didn't tell him the path, how long it would take. He just said, Abraham, follow me. Trust me. Give me your yes. Abraham packed up his belongings and started a long, long trek that lasted many months, even a couple of years, over 1,500 miles on foot. How many times during that 1,500 miles do you think he had a conversation with God? God, how much farther is it? Just follow me. Just follow me. God, are we almost there? You know what? I'll tell you when we get there. Just trust me. Just follow me. And that's all God asked from us. But here's where we are. We've totally discounted God's will. If I've already decided what occupation I'm going to have, if I've already settled the marriage issue and the family issue, I'm done. I'm buying a house. I'm settling down. I don't look for God's will. I don't think about God's will. I don't consider God's will. I don't pray about God's will. I'm not searching for God's will because I'm done. God's will is something for somebody starting out, not for me, and that's not true. God's will is not permanent. He has parts of His will. There may be something that He's called you to do or called you to be right now that He only wants for this period of time. And in 6 months or a year, He may have something totally different in mind for you. And He needs your yes to be ready and for you to trust in Him, your faith to be there, to follow Him wherever He leads. I want you to do this now. And then now here's a new chapter in your book, in your life's book. Now I want you to follow me and go here or be this or do this. God's will is not permanent as far as what He wants us to accomplish. So I'm talking today to a lot of believers that are very set, very sedimentary, and I hope God is stirring your heart. I hope you're understanding that there needs to be a yearning in your life. I bet you anything, there are more chapters in your walk with God than what you would ever, ever believe. God's not through with you, and we need to be desiring His will. Here's a mistake that so many believers make. We create our own little God box, right? Here's my God's will box. And we put the things in here that are standard. Here's my occupation, God. I've already gone to college. Here's my college, my major. Here's my occupation. Here's my husband or my wife. Here's my family. Here's what we like to do. Here's where we want to live. And we make this box, and it's almost like, don't touch my box. Now, anything that you ask me to do that falls inside this box, I want you to know the answer is yes. But if you ask me to do something that's outside of this box, I'm not moving anywhere else because I'm close to family. I'm not going to do anything else in a career because I've already established myself with this business and I'm moving up the food chain. God says, this is my box, don't bother it. And there's so many believers that operate their walk with God just like that. And I want you to know, 99.5 times out of 100, if that's your walk with God, you're going to totally miss God's will for your life, because He's not going to live inside of your box. Where's your yes? Where's your faith? Where's that time alone with Him where you say, God, teach me your will? Lord, I want to please you. I desire your will. What a challenge for you today as a believer. I challenge you to begin to seek God's will, and I'd love to know what He tells you. You know, I said that these last little 1, 2, 3s were for believers only. You know what? If you've never given your life to Christ, I want you to know that's the first step for you today. You know, the New Testament says that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. Faith in Him. That's you. If you've never given your life to Christ, you've never made that total surrender of your life to Him, that's His desire for you today. And it starts with just that, a surrender. God, I love you. God, thank you that you cared enough about me, that you didn't want me to go to hell. You didn't want me to be separated from you, but you left heaven, made salvation, made forgiveness available for me by your death on the cross and your resurrection. And God, I want that in my life. I'm giving you my life. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you to make me your child. Come and live inside of me. Teach me your will, because I want to please you. I want to live for you. I want to serve you for the rest of my life. And I pray that's the desire of your heart today. If you've never given your life to Christ, would you pray that prayer right now? Father, we love you today. What a challenge that we've talked about for believers to re-engage in finding and knowing and following your will, your purpose, your desire and design for our lives. God, I pray that believers would be shaken out of their settlements. God, I pray that their comfort zones would be challenged. That God, to understand that your will is not permanent and you're not through with us. I pray that believers today would begin in earnest to seek you. God, what is it that you want me to be? What is it that you want me to do? How is it you want me to serve you? And Father, for those who've never given their lives to you, Lord, I pray right now that those people are praying that prayer that we talked about. They're surrendering their life to you. They're asking you to be their Savior right now. Father, I pray that we would seek and we would know and we would follow your will. In Jesus' name, amen.